This is William J. Tarkich, Field Supervisor of the State Historical Society. Tape recording at the Patterson Memorial Library at Wild Rose in Washoe County. The date is April 24th, 1957. Mrs. George M. Dopp, Chairman of the Patterson Memorial Library Board, has arranged for a conference on oral history tape recording. The library plans to tape record historical incidents and reminiscences of old-timers in and around Wild Rose for the purpose of documenting this phase of Wild Rose history. There are some 8 people assembled here for the conference, all of whom will participate in the recording you shall hear.
Used to be known as the Calvinistic Methodist Church. Work in this church began in 1851 on a spot where the Tekoa School was built a few years later. From there, the work moved to the Carsalem Church in 1859, located 1 mile north of the village of Wild Rose. The Horeb Church was organized in 1907, and in 1924, when I became pastor, the Carsalem and the Horeb and the Horeb churches were consolidated, and since 1925, the church has been serving the community in the American way, in the English language. We are a member of the Winnebago Presbytery and of the Synod of Wisconsin. In over 80 years, the Presbyterian Church in this community has had 4 pastors. The first was the late Reverend Daniel Thomas, who served 25 years. Reverend Ellis Roberts served 14 years. The Reverend Robert Davis, 4 years. And I have served the church for nearly 33 years. The church has given 4 ministers to the preaching of the gospel. 2 of them are still living, Dr. John Thomas and Reverend Ellis Wynn Roberts. 2 have passed on.
All I have on.
Now, sir, you say you can't, or you leave that on.
I'll get my voice on there, too, so people, you can just hold it.
Right.
I am accustomed to speaking loudly enough so that my voice will record. If you see the light there, you can see that my voice is recording.
Okay.
I would prefer to keep for you to keep the microphone so that you'd be speaking into it when you answer the question, and I can talk loud enough for it to be questioned to be on tape. You mentioned that you came here in 1924, is that right?
That's correct.
Will you give us some contrast between your parish or congregation of today and of 1924? You indicated one contrast when you mentioned that now you progress in the American manner. By that, you, of course, you meant that you use English in the services. You have perhaps forgotten some of the old world Welsh customs. and manners of worship and practice. Can you elaborate on that? Can you give us that type of contrast between 1924 and today in your congregation?
Well, there are several changes. One in particular, which disturbs me more or less, and that is that the evening service of the church is a thing of the past. And the weekly prayer service has become unpopular in our church.
Now, will you repeat the name of your church for me, please?
The Horeb Presbyterian Church of Wild Rose.
That is a predominantly Welsh congregation?
No, it's a mixed nationality. We have Norwegians, and we have some Germans, and we have one Chinese, we have some Polish, we have almost everything which makes up the population of this particular community.
Well, was the congregation as heterogeneous, as mixed in 1924 as it is today?
Well, it was in the process. There were intermarriages between the nationalities. We had our share of that, even in 24. We may have more at this present.
What I was getting at with that question was to hope that you might be able to give me some contrast between a strictly Welsh congregation or parish and a similar congregation in the same church of people of other nationality. But you have pointed out that the mixing process had already started in the 24s. Yet you told us earlier that it was 20, 30 years ago that you stopped using Welsh in the church.
That's correct.
Then you would attribute the fact that other nationality groups started coming into the church for the reason that you dropped the language?
It helped. I think that some of the other churches in the community took some of the Welsh people in earlier years because of mixed marriages. They married people who spoke nothing but English, while the one member would be Welsh, speak nothing but Welsh, and they went to a church where English was preached and taught and so forth.
The average individual would find it strange to conceive of a different language for the Welsh and other English people. We generally conceive of the Welsh as being British, consequently think of them as English-speaking people. Can you speak Welsh?
Oh, yes.
Will you say something in Welsh and translate it in English for...
Llanfair pwll gwyngill, go ger y chwrn drobl, llan di sylio go go goch.
And now what did you say, sir?
I gave the name of a small village in Wales, abbreviated as Llanfair PG. I can't give you the English equivalent because I never memorized it.
And what made you think of that particular example?
Well, that's the jawbreaker, you know.
That's the jawbreaker,
yeah.
I thought perhaps that may have been a community in Wales from whence a lot of the people around here came from.
No, no. There's another one too, Hwch Goch, a chwech o berchus cochion bychan.
I don't understand it. That's right.
I can give you that.
Okay.
That means six sows, no, a red sow with six red little pigs.
Is that a tongue twister?
Yeah, that's it.
Sort of like Peter Piper and Hector Pecker?
Yeah, that's it.
Well, that's the way we could go.
Fooling it. Poor asshole.
Now, will you identify yourself?
How am I to do it?
Well, just tell us who you are. That's fine.
Do I hold it or how?
You may hold it off the table. If you touch it there, that will record and make noise.
Just like this?
Yeah, just like that.
All right. Now, am I to say who I am?
Please.
I'm Mrs. Jane C. Davis. Strike one.
Yes.
Wire Rose, Wisconsin. And I'm repeating about the services at the old church out in the country. We had service in the morning, it was Sunday school, and the services in the afternoon at 2. Then at 6 o'clock in the evening, it was the young people's meeting. And at 7:30, it was the services. There, I'm through.
Now, you had how many services during the day?
Four. Sunday.
Four on Sunday. Were there a lot of traveling back and forth to and from home?
Yes, we had to drive.
Four times a day?
Well, we stayed for dinner, and then, of course, at the evening, we had to go home and do up our chores.
Mm-hmm. Well, can you tell us what you did in between services?
Well, we had to travel some at the evening, and we had our dinner at 12.
Now, when was the first service in the morning? Would you repeat that?
10.
At 10. Mm-hmm. And when was the next service?
At 2.
At 2?
6, young people. And
7:30. And 7:30. Well, would you go through that day as you remembered as a girl or a young woman perhaps, or even in later years? Give us the idea of a typical Welsh Sunday as you remembered. From the time you got up in the morning, the family all got together. How did you go? Did you go afoot? Did you go in the wagon?
Yeah, we went afoot. We were close to the church.
Well, would you start out and tell us what a day like that was like?
Well, we started and went to church at 10. And then we came home about 12 and had our dinner. Then we were back to church at 2. Then we had our supper, early supper, and we go to the young people's meeting. And then we go to the services at 7:30.
Where did you have supper? You say you used to go
at
back home for that?
Home.
Now, how far did you live from the church?
Oh, just about a block.
Oh, that wasn't so bad. How large a family did you have?
5.
What is your father's occupation?
Clergyman.
Your father was a pastor, the minister in the church?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Was he the first or among the first?
He wasn't the first. We came here in 1881, and the church was dedicated in 1864. So it was about 17 years it was. I don't remember. Was it a Davis? I'm not sure the pastor was. Do you remember, Mr. Williams? You haven't? I'm quite sure his name was Davis.
How long did your father hold the parish?
25 years.
25 years. So you had a lot of long Sundays. Now, all down through those 25 years, were the Sundays all the same?
Just about.
Even at the end of his career, he still had the four services.
Mm-hmm.
Did it still happen at the church?
Well, no, they haven't now. Just about 2 in Sunday school.
Well, when did this change come about? How did it come about?
Well, just happened to be that the... I don't know just how it did come about.
About when did you notice that these practices were changing? Can you remember when the first service was dropped? Which one was dropped first?
Well, I just can't remember. Of course, we went to the other church here in country. Country church was Carsalem Church.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went to, we belong here, this church. That was in 1900 and, oh, it must be. When did you say, Mr. Williams, the...
Six,
it was organized. Yes, well, that's the time. Okay. We worship in the town hall for a year.
For 1 year?
Just 1 year, and then we had the church built and moved in there.
Why did you worship in the town hall?
They had service there, just like we at the other church.
Is anybody else playing?
Well, it was dedicated in 1864. So it must be just about that time.
And there was no no village here at all then?
No village church, no. Not we call it the Welsh church then.
There wasn't even a village here at that time, was it?
No, it couldn't be. Only, I don't know, Mr. Smart had a store here then at that time or not.
Jones, I think, had the
church. Oh, yes, that's right. It was a Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you haven't had a Wild Rose Centennial yet.
They're a Centennial Farm.
Mm-hmm.
You haven't had a Centennial for the village.
Mm-hmm. Does anybody else want to talk and hear their
voices? You can go to the men's court. The men's court. The men, come on, tell about the morning. Hi, I have to write that down. Tell about the things, though.
I did. Oh, mercy, no. I'll get it all mixed up.
Identify yourself, please.
Is it going now?
Oh, yes.
Is it running now?
Mm-hmm.
I have to get my thoughts together a little bit.
Well, tell us who you are and where you live.
I am Mrs. David E. Davies. I live in my old home on the farm. In Springwater, the farm where I was born.
Now, what story were you going to tell us about the men's choir in the Welsh church?
Oh, well, the Welsh people usually were very good singers. Most everyone could sing. And we had large families in this community. And they had very fine voices. And this was the great pastime in this community, the singing schools. I remember our first singing leader was Mr. John D. Jones, a very fine man and the elder of the Carsalem Church. He understood music quite well, and had helped the young people in training them for the singing schools. They were usually held at the old country church at Carsalem. We didn't have an organ at first. They learned the tonic sol fa, we called it. And there were several voices for each part, several bassers, several tenors, and so on, several altos and several sopranos, so we had a very fine choir. And I remember often when we went to these singing schools, some would drive with horses, others would walk. Very often they felt that the horses had worked too hard during the day. So they would usually walk. And Often I heard my husband tell that they would go in crowds, the young people walking several miles, some 3 and 4 miles, to these singing schools. And of course, they were having a lot of fun mixed in with the hard work. Mr. John D. Jones was a very stern director. Things had to be right or else not at all. And there were several of his own children in this choir. And one, especially the oldest one, Mr. Gwilym Jones, was full of fun. And I remember them rehearsing one night. And sometimes it didn't take but just one or two words to set the whole chorus laughing. And they got their father laughing. Finally, he broke down and had a laugh with him. And usually, after after having a good laugh, then he would try to sober up and run his fingers through his hair. He had a pompadour, always wore a pompadour. "Well, indeed," he says, "we must get down to business now." And we try and sober up and get going again. There are several estevals, we call them in the Welsh language, song fests, held in the old church. Some of them would take part in other churches too. I can't remember the exact number we had in the choir. There must have been around 20, 25 perhaps in the choir. And especially when we had our church synods or church quarterlies, we would have some wonderful singing and much preparation before the these meetings. I think it was in 1900 that we had our first church organ. Of course, after that, singing schools were held. Singing schools were held before that, of course, but after that, we had a professor that came here from Randolph, I think, Professor Perry. Professor Perry from Randolph to hold or to teach the young people. And several concerts were given in this community, and they also took part in the Song Fest at Oshkosh, which is held every year. I can't tell you just how many years this Song Fest has been held.
Thank you very much. Oh, did you have something to say?
Oh, yes, because we all have.
Now you tell us who you are, please.
My name is Frances Lane, and I live in Village now. I was born in Springwater. Springwater is just over the road from the, that is that was before the village was organized. And I was thinking when Mrs. Annie Davis was talking that she didn't really tell enough about her father. He was so well liked by everyone that there was quite an Irish settlement around where I lived, and they were of course all born Catholics, but the churches were so far away, and they just had horses, you know, and wagons, so they didn't get there to their own church very often. So when there was a death in the family, Mr. Thomas as long as I can remember, always was asked to preach the sermon. As one old Welshman said one time, he never says anything to hurt anybody's feelings. And all of us older ones who remember him had very much respect for Mr. Thomas, and her brother is now a minister, unless he has retired. I think you didn't mention John D. Jones Jr. either, did you? That was minister.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that little footnote. You were going to tell us also a couple of stories on how Wild Rose got its name.
Well, the one that I heard was my father was working for Mr. John H. Jones and helping him dig a basement. And he, it was quite late in the fall, and they came on to a rose bush which was in blossom, out of season. And Mr. Jones says, there, I've got the name for this place. I'm going to call it Wild Rose. The man also built, put up a store in Idlewild in Springwater. He gave it its name. And also in Waupaca County, Little Hope and Parfreville.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Another theory of
Will you tell us that?
I'll have my mother tell that.
Yes, that was a very lovely story, but there's another theory, too, that the people, the English people who came from the town of Rose, New York, to this wilderness vicinity, a community, gave it the name of Wild Rose after their home, which they had left so far behind.
Well, you told us the little story here, but you didn't tell us your name, please.
Oh, I am Mrs. George Dopp of Wild Rose. We had a store in town for 23 years, and my husband is now retired, partially retired. And we just keep busy.
Well, thank you.
My mother is, is the daughter of a man who came from England and got the land from the Indians here on a grant from the government, I believe. And that is another story. We've been talking about the Welsh today, but we could talk about the English settlement, too, sometime.
How many nationalities in the area do you know of?
Well, there are quite a few. There are German and Norwegian, English, Welsh,
Polish.
Yes, we have a quite a Polish settlement. It was much more populous at one time than it is now, because many of them came from Poland to settle here on some farmland that really couldn't sustain farm families. But they were led to believe by a real estate agent in Chicago that this was Garden of Eden, and they came expecting to find rich farmland, and many of them couldn't make a living on it, so left to go to the city, most of them back to Chicago eventually. But there are still some farms that are occupied by the Poles, and they're a very hardworking, energetic people. They have a church called Heffron, out about 6 miles northwest of town. And many of the Poles have that for their church. They're very active, very ambitious, devout people.
Well, you've got a star here today on your tape recording project. So that's great, son.
Well, that's my
brother. And the pioneer settlers, the one song which brought tears to the eye of every Frenchman who heard it, and it is said that wherever three Frenchmen were gathered together when this song was sung, that place was Canadian soil. And this song was A la Claire Fontaine. There's something nostalgic about the song that seemed to just bring out that sentiment that seems to be in all French. But today, the song which means Canada and which means French to all who hear it is another song which was used as a work song in the old days, a song which was used when picking chickens. Little lark, come, let me pick out your feathers. Let me pick the feathers off from your head, from your nose, from your mouth, from your neck, from your back, and from your feet. As they sang this song, the picking of feathers from chickens to prepare them for market was an easy task indeed. It is no longer used in this way, but as a fun song, and it is sung in Canada by the very tiniest Canadian citizen right up to the Prime Minister himself, and by every French-speaking American as well. Whenever this song is heard on the radio or on television or anywhere which it is heard, they know that it is Canada. It is Alouette.